Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another very exciting episode here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, and I want to also thank Him and praise Him for getting me through this Thanksgiving holiday. It was interesting. I was had a lot of fun seeing my family, but Lord, my family sure know how to get on my nerves. But you got to love them anyway. So today, in addition to it being a holiday season, because Thanksgiving is just past, today, as we know, is what's called Cyber Monday, which a lot of individuals will be spending a whole lot of money online shopping, trying to find that gift. And I guess going online is a little easier than trying to be in the stores and fighting over stuff. And, you know, I tried not to watch the news this morning to see if there was any casualties when it came to being at the stores. But when we start talking about money, that is a very interesting and touchy subject. So today I'm going to have some guests on the call phone with me, and they're going to be sharing a lot of information, because today's topic has to do with your financial future. Because a lot of times we're so busy living in the past, we're so busy trying to boast and brag about what we have, and sometimes jealous about what we don't have because other people have it. But I found something, and it was on Oprah Winfrey's website, and it has to do with money. And it was written by Suze Orman, and it says, "Money is such an amazing teacher. What you choose to do with your money shows whether you are truly powerful or power." And I found that, just that statement, to be very powerful, because a lot of times many of us were taught wrong when it comes to money and the value of money. I know I was. You know, even growing up in Compton, you know, my mother owned her own home, and it seemed like we had a lot going on. I remember when my mother passed and I saw how much money she was making, I said, this woman was living way beyond her means. But no one ever knew it, because that was how she was taught, and then I start developing the same bad habit. So I'm going to log on my caller. Let me see here. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hello. Hi, Jeanette. This is Lisa Anderson. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am well. Let me log on the other guest. Give me 1 second. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney here at Blog Talk Radio, Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you? This is Bernice Dunlap.
Okay, I am glad you guys are on the line. And I want to thank you, Bernice, for bringing this topic up, because I know you've been trying to get me to come in and listen to what you guys have going on. And there's a lot of stuff that's going out there when it comes to money. And one of the things is, and I talked about when we talk about our financial future, is one thing we have to do is we have to develop healthy habits to secure our financial future by making the most of our money. And a lot of times we don't do that. Another thing I found was we have to align our spending with our values, and that requires setting priorities. So often we're always talking about what we can't do. We never focus on what we can do. And when it comes to money, some of us have to question ourselves or have a question in regards to, are we a good steward, and understanding what stewardship means. Because many can be very irresponsible when it comes to their finances, and I know I am. I'm horrible with it. But we have to remember your money matters. And we also have to teach our children healthy spending habits. Now, when we talk about our financial future, there are also choices that we can make that can mess up our financial future. So developing healthy habits can secure your financial future. So we're going to align, or we need to start aligning our spending with our values. And like I said, that requires setting priorities. So which one want to go first, Bernice or Lisa Anderson? Tell us a little bit about what you wanted to bring or talk about on the show here today at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm Bernice, and I totally agree with you, Jeanette, on what you first mentioned about your practices and about how your mom did as far as financially. My mom, I did the same thing, and that was practicing spending with credit cards. Yes. So what we do as a people and as a nation, we fail to plan. That's really the crutch of all of this. 9 out of 10 people, Jeanette, rely solely on Social Security as a means after they retire, and that's a sad statistic. And so with that in mind, the only way that I feel that we can get out of this financial plunder is to change our way of thinking about money. You know, money is not the root of all evil. It can be if you use it in that aspect. But money is something that we can possess in a positive manner, and we can train our kids to promote a legacy for their kids and their kids to to come. And so with that in mind, the aspects that we need to practice as far as financially happens to be through life insurance, establishing a progressive, healthy savings plan, as well as a long-term plan for financial growth, and that's in retirement.
And, you know, and it's interesting because a lot of people don't even focus on retirement. I tell individuals, I remember I retired the first time I was 33 years old. And my mother was like, and you know what, and I'm going to tell you, you know, Bernice, half the time I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I just do it. I didn't realize, that I had set myself up for early retirement at 33, and I was able to get paid for the rest of my life. And I'm like, okay, I'm only 33 years old. What am I going to do here? But I was still in school. I was working on my master's degree, so I kind of invested in my education, too, so that kind of helped. And now I'm a workaholic, which I've always been a workaholic, but it's crazy. I have another caller. Let me join this caller on the line, and we're going to continue with our conversation. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Crutches Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Hello? Okay, I'm going to just mute that person because they don't know what they want to say. Okay, so getting back to what I was saying is, you know what, Brittany, that is so true because a lot of times we talk about insurance, we talk about certain things. I had said something, and I believe I had wrote it out. I don't even know if I said it when I went on Facebook Live. But when it comes to our money, we are creatures of habit. And by being creatures of habit, a lot of times when we talk about credit cards, I went to Arizona over the Thanksgiving holidays, and I only have one credit card. But I remember when I was in my early 20s, 30s, I remember my mother told me, she said, baby, before my mother got sick and passed away, she said, I am so concerned about you. She said, I'm afraid of being sick, and I'm afraid for you to get sick. She said, do you know you over $1 million in debt? Bernice, I didn't
even know.
I didn't know. I did not know. I was over $1 million in debt. I didn't know the difference between secured debt, unsecured debt. You know, at the time, I had 2 houses. I had 3 cars. I had credit cards. My mother was so busy watching me make mistakes, she didn't sit me down until it was too late. And by that time, I never filed bankruptcy, which I didn't even know about bankruptcy. But it was the thing was I was making the money, I was paying the bills, but the problem was it was out of control, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know it because growing up in my home, we never only had one vehicle. We always had 2 or 3. And even now, I'm like, okay, I got 2 cars, and I'm like, dang, I want me a truck. I can't wait to get me a truck. But getting back to the credit card thing, when I went to go rent a car to drive to Arizona, I don't keep a lot of money on my credit card. So they told me I had to have a deposit, and I got mad. And I'm sitting up here trying to switch and figure out how I'm going to do this. And thank God my husband had his credit card because he was able to put the security deposit on his thing because I'm like, my bank is at Mission Federal. That's way in San Diego County, and here I am in L.A. And I was like, okay, got to give me another credit card. But then I thought about it. I said, I'm not dealing with them credit cards no more because I swore when I got myself out of that debt, I was not going to do that again. And
yes.
Even now, I complain about my house. I want me another house. I want me a, which I am determined to buy me a house for my birthday. I got to do that because I don't like living in my rental property. But I did. I gave them a big house. I was like, I don't like this. I want a big house, but I don't want to clean up. Now, I have a question for the listeners. Did you know that your credit score can impact your financial future? Because when it comes to our finances, many individuals have developed, like I said, bad habits. And that is why this topic is so important, but it's very difficult to teach, as many focus on what they see and often lack patience. So when we talk about or even think about our financial future, it starts sounding like those lines that many tell regarding their New Year's resolution, saying, I'm going to save me some money, I'm going to invest in a Roth IRA, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and they don't even know what the hell a Roth IRA is. You know,
right.
So if you have any questions, you want to talk about, you know, things that you've learned, tips that you developed, and we're going to be giving you guys some information because, like I said, on this show today, we're going to be discussing how your future relates to your personal finances, learning how to save money, when and how to pay off debt, purchasing a home, which is interesting, Bernice, because I found that a lot of wealthy individuals don't own homes. They rent homes, and I'm like, okay, we were kind of taught you want to buy. Now there's this big controversy of whether to rent or buy. And also talking about not only purchasing a home, but obtaining and the importance of insurance, investing, and tithing. Now, we know that tomorrow is not promised to no one, but no one should die broke. And we're
seeing that
a lot when it comes to insurance. We're seeing that a lot when it comes to individuals' wealth. A lot of times individuals are so focused on wanting to be rich, but we always used to say, there was a little joke we used to say, that Shaquille O'Neal was rich, but the person that wrote his check had wealth. Because wealth can go a whole lot further than just being rich. So, Bernice, tell us about when you're talking about just not only in regards to when we talk about setting these priorities. Tell us what it is that you have, either you or Lisa, because Lisa's trying to be silent right about now. So, what the product is that you have that you want the listeners to hear about?
Okay, Lisa, you go. Go on, Lisa.
So, what we do as a business, and I have to agree with everything that both of you guys have said because I too grew up in Irvine. We've always had many cars, but we weren't taught money, and most of the people aren't taught money. All we know is to save. But not know how to save or where to invest or if not. So what we do as a company that I just got jumped into in April and got licensed in May and been trying to take off since August. And so what we do as a company is we help families and we educate them about the money, either one-on-one or in a class setting. And we have classes every Saturday. And we have five different classes that are money management classes. So one could be on trust, and the other one could be a college planning, debt settlement, insurance, retirement, and it can go on. Those classes are free. I wish we had these back when I was growing up. So people spend, or don't have enough life insurance, or figure I have life insurance in place and don't even know what type of life insurance, don't even know if it's going to cover their final days or the loved ones or house. And so people don't realize that. So when you get a life insurance, you can build that and make sure you're covered for college funds. You can be covered for your house, all your payments, just in case the one that has got the significant amount of money or the breadwinner of the household dies first, that the other rest of them can live comfortably. So we sit down and we talk to families, we teach them about the money, we've got classes, we've got people that are on there that can analyze analyze their income and their debt and all that, and then that way we can see how much is needed. But our most important is what they can afford, what is needed, and as long as they can live the 10 years after one dies. So, you know, people are so, especially our black people, they are able to get life insurance because for so many years we've been screwed out, you know.
Correct.
And I remember the A.L. Williams and the Prime America and all that stuff, and I'm like, you know what? No, and I've got six kids. I've always wanted to know how people do it. We've got people that come in, they only can afford $25 and have no debt. We've got people that come in with $25,000 and have no debt, or $25,000 and have $1 million debt. We have people who all want to be about it. It's free.
You kind of break it up a little bit, Lisa. For some reason, you're breaking up.
I'm sorry. So it's free and it's open to families, and that's what we're here, to help families build and live a secure life and happy life.
Gotcha.
And
now,
we're
I have
also
a question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How would they contact you? Where would they find you at? If they're, because you got to start somewhere. You know, because I'm looking at something that talks about three ways to get your finances in order before the end of the year. Now, here it is, already November. And a lot of times individuals don't know how to put money into tax shelters. They don't know how to or where to invest. You know, like I said, I'm one. I like going to the casino, playing blackjack every now and then, and there'd be a whole lot of people there with a whole lot of money, and I'd be sitting up there. I'd be like, you know what? This is making me sick. But I just enjoy the game, but in the atmosphere, but I'm looking at people just throwing their money away. Just, you know, one day I was there, and I watched a man lose like $10,000 within an hour, and I was like, you know what? This is ridiculous. So where can they, or how can they contact you if they're interested? Because like I said, insurance is one of those things. So do you have a number you can give the listeners?
Sure. I'm Lisa Anderson, and my number is 714-472-1173. And I also can be reached by my email, thegoodlife2@gmail.com. So let me say that again, thegoodlife2live@gmail.com. Bernice?
I am Bernice Dunlap, and I can be reached at 714-261-4412. I'm a rose lover, so my email is roses for my initials, bd@gmail.com, roses4bd@gmail.com. Okay, go on, Jeanette, I'm sorry.
No, good. You're going to say what you're going to say.
Okay. There's another topic that I'd like to mention, and that is about our taxes and dealing with financial situations. We have tax implications on everything. I had no idea that I knew of two, tax now, tax deferred, but I had no idea that there are financial vehicles that you can utilize in your financial planning and future that are tax exempt. You pay no taxes. That is another educational platform that we have at our place of business to discuss the different taxes.
One of the things that I always tell people, when we know better, we do better. And it's sad because we get so caught up with, you know, we used to call it back in the day living like the Joneses. You know, we always looking at what people had, looking at the big cars. I remember one day I was going to my office a couple of weeks ago, and I saw one of my clients outside trying to flirt with a guy driving an expensive car down the street in Huntington Beach. And I looked at her, and she's very young. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, well, he got a nice car. I said, don't you know he may have a car payment too? And she looked at me because she was so busy looking at the car. And she said, well, maybe he have an inheritance. Okay, well, if he have an inheritance, maybe he don't know how to spend his money wisely either. So have to basically know what we're doing. Now, I have some information, and I talked about a little bit when I said line your spending with your values and require setting priorities. But before I even get to that point, I want to share something in regards to, like I said, living like the Joneses. My grandkids are so lucky. Now, only I would say probably one of them is really good with her money, and that is one of my granddaughters. And every time she gets something, she always wants to share it. She always give me money. Granny here, you know, give me. But she kind of beat me out some candy the other day, so I can't wait to see her. As soon as I see her, she had me order some candy from her school, right? I paid $20-some for some candy, so I thought this is what I did. I figured she wouldn't eat mine or would give me mine if I bought her some. But when I got home last night from Arizona, I noticed I had some chocolate penguins in my refrigerator, and half of them was gone. She's so smart, she left the piece of paper in the bag with my name on it, and I'm like, where my candy at? This child that ate my candy and her candy. She ate $20-something worth of candy. So I wait to have conversations with her because she kind of beat me out of $12 for some candy, but it's all good. But she's one that is a giver. My oldest granddaughter, she was what you call kind of bougie growing up, but didn't realize we were poor, but she was real bougie. And she was going to school in Fullerton, and she teasing the kids, talking about they shop at the 99-cent store, and they do this. But at first, when she was in elementary school, kids were trying to take her shoes. So, you know, she was being bullied at one time. So my daughter became very creative. She taught my grandbaby how to shop at a thrift store. And it was funny to me because I had never shopped at a thrift store, but she made her go to for her to learn the value of a dollar, meaning that don't tease nobody because they shopping at secondhand stores, because a lot of rich, wealthy people shop, and they don't look like they rich because they don't do what we do within our culture by being ghetto rich. Here we are living in an apartment driving a Jag, you know, or you living with your mama driving a Beamer. So my daughter was trying to teach her the importance of money, and it really, she did very well with her, because now with my grandbaby, she don't call me and say, Granny, you got some money? Or Granny, can I have? She'll say, Granny, can I come work for you? Granny, can I come do this for you? So thank she'll you. Come and work it out. So what I always do, I give her my bills.
Awesome.
I make her organize my bills so she'll know it's hard as your granny work, baby. It is not easy. So she know what I got coming in. She know what I got going out, because that's trying to prepare her for when she gets older. So I have a question. When we talk about our financial future, what is an emergency fund? Do you know that a lot of people don't even know what an emergency fund is? Bernice or Lisa, any of you want to explain what an emergency fund is?
Emergency fund is a short-term fund account that is basically set up by you consistently, on a consistent basis, to where you have money available to you, car breakdown, unforeseen occurrence, you know, that's what an emergency fund is about. I don't recommend, this is me, I don't recommend putting it in our local bank, because you don't earn as much as you would with other things that you can put your money in as a short-term emergency fund. We can talk about that when they call us.
It's funny when we talk about emergency fund, it seems like that's when your family members always want to call you and make you an emergency fund. When they stuff right now, they want to call you. Auntie, you got $20? Yeah. No, I don't have $20. You don't have $20. I'd be like, sucker, you call me for $20. You can't have it, but I can't have it. Not have it.
Yeah. At least
we got another call.
You can go on if you want.
Okay. Yes, that's so true.
It's okay for them not to have it. And I'm supposed to be their emergency fund, but when I tell them no, they get mad at me because they'll never pay back. So I find the emergency fund is when they got a problem and they want to call somebody else. But you know what Steve Harvey said it best? He said when family members call asking for money, call them back in 2 weeks. By then, they've been figured it out. Hold on for one second. I got another call coming in. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Purchase Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am well. Who am I speaking with?
Cecilia Brooks, your auntie.
Hi, auntie. How you doing? Okay.
Good.
I'm going to go into a little bit about what you have to add to the show, too. I want to thank you for calling. I want to give the listeners some information, because we talk about debt, how to get out of debt slowly. There are many commercials out there about how to get out of debt. We get emails. We get information in the mail. We talk about credit repair. We talk about, you know, credit secure and other information. And they tell individuals to be aware of the get-rich-quick claims. And the same is true sometimes about the get-out-of-debt-fast claims, too. So one of the things we have to do is they offer two things. Start putting a higher value on money and saving money, and be aware of your emotions, because your emotions can get you in trouble. Now, Miss Cecilia, I'm going to call you Cecilia on here. I have a question for you. You have a program that you got going on that has to do with credit repairs. And we talked a little bit about FICO scores and how people don't realize that your FICO score has a lot to do with your credit. Now, when I bought my company, I tell people I had what I had before I bought the company. Purchasing the Center for the Treatment of Addiction made me broke and almost made me go bankrupt. And, Bernice, you know you was there with me when they were trying to make sure they was making me homeless. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that phone call.
But you proved them all wrong.
Girl, I'm still here because you know what? They had me. They didn't know who they was messing with, which was one thing. And that's okay. That is okay. Because, you know, my focus ain't never been money. But when we talk about FICO score, it kind of messed up my credit a little bit. And people were telling me to file bankruptcy, and I didn't want to do it. And I just basically did what I had to do to try to get out of the debt that I was in. So, Cecilia, tell us a little bit about what you offer in regards to the product that you have when it comes to your credit.
Okay. I work for FES, Financial Education, Services. And you can join for $188 to start, and then starting the next month, it's $89 a month. There's no contract, so you can cancel at any time. And it deletes bankruptcies and tax liens and everything off your credit because, you know, you don't have to pay your bills in order to get the things off of your credit. So this program, mm-hmm. what they do is they dispute everything at once. And you can start seeing results in 45 to 90 days, and you can cancel at any time. And including that, you get an attorney with it that you can talk to any time. You get travel and prescription discounts, customized budgeting system, life lock, identity theft, smart credit, a personalized website to track your progress.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a will and trust is included. You can talk to the lawyer at any time. And they'll even dispute inquiries from your credit.
And
Cecilia,
that's something that's interesting, mm-hmm. too, because when we talk about insurance, a lot of individuals don't know the difference between a term insurance plan versus a whole life plan. Because back in the day when individuals were getting term insurance, the term plan was once it reached its term, you still had that policy. And that's when, like, a lot of people were dying and, you know, and grandma got a $500 policy that she'd have for 50 years, you know. But now these policies expire. You're paying to basically die. And it sounds confusing, but it's the way things are kind of set up, and we have to educate ourselves. And the one thing I keep hearing you ladies say is education, 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 because education is very important, and we have to keep up with what is going on so that we won't be left behind. And mm-hmm. I know, like, with myself, and because I got to tell my son, even when I hear and I'm working with individuals, because I am a licensed therapist, I have 5 different office locations in Fullerton, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, Oceanside, Marietta, and I'm supposed to be finding an office in Compton soon. I don't know how the hell I'm going to do that, but I guess I'm going to have to figure out some kind of way. But the thing is, when we talk about
need it in our
insurance, I went to Arizona. Samantha was already like, you're going to find one out here in Arizona. I was talking to my Uncle Derek. He was like, Jeanette, you know, we can do. And I'm sitting there like, you know what? Y'all going to either have to get me a jet, a broom, or something. Because, first of all, I'm tired of driving. I don't mind doing this, setting folks up, but this is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
But getting back to insurance, the one thing I know that I'm grateful for is I paid for my funeral. When I got the deed to my grave, I was like, ooh, what's this? You know, I had never had one of those before. So my funerals and everything is paid for. So don't nobody have to be trying to have a car wash or trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to get Jeanette buried or whatever the case may be. I argue with my son a lot because I keep telling him, you are not going in my grave. If they open up my thing before I go before you, they open me up trying to put you in there, we're going to have a problem. We're going to be rocking and rolling in Inglewood Park Cemetery. You know, but let's talk a little bit about a budget.
That is sound financial planning, Jeanette. That's sound financial planning, and that's wonderful. And the life insurance that we're speaking about, too, Jeanette, the life insurance is that along with a savings plan. And that's the beauty of this life insurance that we're talking about, Lisa and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, there used to be years ago where we'd have a whole life insurance policy,
mm-hmm.
and the term life, you know, you outlive the term because it's 10 years or fit, you know, whatever the term of the policy is. However,
mm-hmm.
this Index Universal Life Insurance policy is a beautiful thing because not only I'm talking about the tax implications, it's tax exempt, Jeanette. So
mm-hmm.
this is
and
revolutionizing the financial industry, and it's
and
a beautiful thing.
Also building savings also. So you can save
mm-hmm.
for a house, you can save for a car, you can save for a college fund where it's not
mm-hmm.
taxable. If you're saving your money right now and you're putting it in a college fund in a regular bank or credit union, that's going to be taxed. And when it comes time to do your financial aid check or financial aid application for your kid and they want to know the parent's part of it, where what can the parent contribute, and they realize that you
mm-hmm.
have a savings, they're going to want you to exhaust that savings right prior to
mm-hmm.
you getting, getting financial aid. So
yeah.
that also is taxed. So what we teach you in your insurance policy, you can save for college fund and all what else it needs to be, whatever your needs are, and it's not taxed.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
you know, one of the things I did too is, like I said, I'm terrible when it comes to money, but I did make some good decisions when I was younger. But I remember when I bought my home, my first rental, my home that I live in now as a rental property, which I want to get out of. I purchased a policy that basically indicated if I died, my house would be paid off. So my
Correct.
Daughter
mm-hmm.
or my son wouldn't be left with my mortgage, which my
mm-hmm.
mama didn't do that to me. She kind of died and left me with a mortgage. But I had mine
mm-hmm.
set up that way to where if I passed, that was paid off. But a lot of times we talk about insurance, we do have to get smarter, and we also have to look at what type of insurance plan we're buying, too. Because
yes.
there are some risks, and a lot of times people don't trust individuals, and, you know, it's a lot that goes along with it. So education, education, education. So when we talk about budgeting, one of the things, one of the easiest ways that I look at it is if I have $10, I'm going to spend less, save, and invest. But then you also got to pay yourself too. So you can set
yeah.
it up like four different ways. And a lot of times we don't teach people how to budget. I can tell
mm-hmm.
you, I can't stand a budget. I tell my daughter, I'll be like, look, they talk about my spending because I don't know how much money I make, how much money I have. I was supposed to be adding
mm-hmm.
this stuff up. My auntie was looking at me when I was in Arizona like, you're supposed to be enjoying the holidays, but yet you're sitting up here trying to figure some stuff out. I don't know. But when you're talking about a budget, you have to know what you're bringing in, know what you're spending out, and be able to, you know, divide or invest the rest
exactly.
so that you're not outside of your budget. Now,
exactly.
I would love for somebody to put me on a budget and just give me an allowance. Give me an allowance, let me do what I want to do, and they can take care of the rest of this mess because it gets on my nerves.
Call us up. Call us up. We'll do it. Call us.
You know what? I had another lady, too. Now, see, but the thing that you're talking about with the insurances, I have those
uh-huh.
plans. I've had several of them. I had, at one point, it was so bad, I think I was spending like $1,300 a month with Western Reserve Life.
No. You shouldn't need more than one. You shouldn't need more than one.
What?
You should not need more than one.
I had it set up differently. I had policies for my grandkids, for myself, for my kids, for my sons, baby mamas. I had all kind.
Yeah.
I think I had so many policies, it was ridiculous. So I was trying to set them up so that once they reached a certain age, that I think it was 20 years, that they could either get the money out towards their college future or whatever they wanted to do, which was what I did. But then I had
Correct.
To try to rearrange the things because I was insurance heavy. Now, I want to give
mm-hmm.
you guys some information. Like I said, talking about not only our finances, but I talked a little bit about knowing the difference between being rich versus wealth, our FICO score, savings, and retirement. It's never too late to start planning for your retirement. But the problem is the older you get, the more money you're going to have to invest into your retirement, especially if you want to live comfortably. Now, there are some
yes.
states where people can live far more freely than in other states because California, New York, Hawaii or a few of the highest, when you're talking about the cost of living, is very high to, you know, to live a lifestyle that you want to be comfortable with versus if you move to other states like Mississippi or, you know, I think Denver was another one, but there's a few states where the cost of living is very low. But those are what some of the things that we also need to prepare for is retirement and insurance. Now, I have some information, and I started off talking about setting priorities. Now, when we start talking about priorities, a lot of times when it comes to our money and our spending, we look at two different things. What opportunities am I missing as a result of the way I spend my money? Many do not realize that we miss out on a lot of opportunities based on the way we spend our money. Because a lot of times individuals will spend fast, and you let somebody lose their job or somebody get sick. The repo man, IRS, everybody else knocking on your door, and all your stuff is gone. Because individuals do not know the difference between good debt versus bad debt. They don't know how to tap into their assets and find out what their net worth is. A lot of times we listen to radio or we watch television, we hear that Beyonce is worth this or so-and-so is worth that. But, correct, but we don't what a portfolio is. Another thing is, a question is, what does my current spending say about me? Now, a lot of times we look at people spending. I remember growing up in Compton, we had a lot of friends that were on welfare. And my mother used to get so mad at me because every first and the 15th they was going shopping, hang out and go shopping too. My mother used to tell me, baby, they get a check. You don't. You know, they never really wore the same clothes more than once. They would shop and get rid of it. And I was like, wow. But as we got older and I see these same people or when I communicate with them, I see that the way that they were doing things, it didn't last long versus the way my mother, even though she wasn't able to give us a lot of insight in regards to how to set things up, but I do appreciate what she taught me in regards to that. Now, talking about choices. There are some choices that can mess up your financial future that a lot of people are not aware of. And some of these choices that can mess up your financial future is taking out a new car loan. Why is it that we feel we have to have the sharpest, most fanciest car? I tell individuals, people were so looking at me when I bought my car. I went to the car dealership with my daughter, thought I was going to co-sign for her, find out I didn't have to. I walked off the car lot with a new car. It was a Mercedes, which I wanted me a Jag, but I didn't get it. The crazy part was I didn't have to put no money down. I didn't have to. My credit score was all jacked up. But they let me walk off the lot with a Beamer. I thought, oh, God gave me faith. But God gave me, I got a bill with a high interest loan. So the other day I received something in the mail to refinance my car and take it from a 10% to a 6%. And the one thing my husband was like, well, if you refinance the car, do you get money out of it? No, you don't get money out of it. Because when you refinance the car, you're refinancing the balance on your loan to lower your monthly payment so that you can actually save money on the interest. Because a lot of individuals don't pay attention to that, to where if I was in my teens or a college student, now here I'm thinking I'm driving a Benz, but hey, my car note's almost $700 a month. You know, which is crazy, but I knew I needed another car at the time. So I appreciate it, but now I got to be smart and I got to do things differently because I'm not going to take that car and wind up paying three times the amount of the car because of my credit at the time.
Your credit. So, right. See, that's why you have to get your credit clean.
Correct.
If you get it clean, then you can always refinance at a lower interest rate.
But you know what? Bernice, I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people don't know that no credit is just as bad as bad credit. Because after I bought my houses and after I did what I did, I didn't buy anything for almost 10 years. It was a while. So my credit kind of stayed the same because I had nothing moving me but my mortgages and my loans. So I didn't have, the only went down to one credit card. So I had paid off everything, got rid of everything, and it was hurting my credit score. So I had to go and try to buy something or do something in order for my credit score to move because I wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
Even though I was a business owner, I was still being denied things because of my credit score. But the thing is, like I said, taking out a new loan is one. Another thing that messes up the individual's financial future is funding a lifestyle with credit. That is a big no-no that I don't think it's as bad as it used to be because, you know, there should have been laws against that because getting out of high school, it's like everybody and their mama was sending you a credit card application. And individuals are taking out these credit cards or getting these cards.
Thank you.
I remember I had two cards with almost $50,000 in credit limit between the two cards. Another thing is not having any savings and not using a spending plan. Auntie, what do you think about individuals that do not have any savings? What do you think about that when you're looking at them trying to fix their credit score? What do you tell them about when they say, I don't have a savings account?
Oh, yeah. I always tell them they should at least save 10% of their earnings every month. And you need, even if you have to get, if your credit is bad and you have to get a prepaid credit card, get the prepaid credit card. If you use it every month, pay it off, and that'll build your credit up.
Correct. So because a lot of people don't realize, they look at the balance, they'll look at what their credit limit is, and they'd be so close to the limit. But when you look at and you're doing it that way, you're messing up your debt-to-credit ratio. Now, like I said, as we know, Thanksgiving just passed, Cyber Monday is today, Christmas is coming up, we want to buy all of these doggone gifts for individuals. So there are some things that we also have to take into consideration. And then not only that, Bernice has said something about the taxes and the way taxes are looking. A lot of times these tax laws change, and it's getting so confusing now. So we really got to pay attention to what is going on when it comes to our taxes, when it comes to, you know, setting up a, you know, an account, whether we're going to invest in stocks and bonds or we're going to diversify. And, you know, we do definitely have to educate ourselves. And like I said, it's never too late to start. And all we have to do is listen. Now, when we're talking about work, a lot of times individuals have jobs. And many of them will either quit their job. A lot of people, like you said, not only with Social Security, we need to know what Social Security, how that law is occurring. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be having a guest on the show. She's an attorney, and she wants to talk about Social Security disability benefits because a lot of individuals are being denied because they don't understand how that works, too. So we're going to be educating
them. And then they don't know they got to apply at the right time, too. They have to apply for Social Security benefits at the right time and not deny themselves by not applying at the right time.
Because a lot of times we get so frustrated because of things we don't know. Now, going back a little bit, because we got 16 minutes left on the show. And if individuals want to call in, they can call in at 516. We got a lot of background noise going on. I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah.
But I can hear the background noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm going into the dentist office on side, so I won't be so loud.
Okay. So if you want to call in and you have some questions for our guests, Ms. Cecilia Brooks, in regards to credit repair, or if you want to ask Bernice Dunlap or Lisa Anderson some questions in regards to the type of insurance plans that they have, you can give us a call at 516-387-1914. Again, 516-387-1914. And I want to say from a therapeutic perspective, do you know that most relationships end because of finances? And even when we do premarital counseling, one of the things that is very important to talk about is how you spend your money and what do you invest in. You know, a lot of times individuals get mad because they marry individuals and these individuals are either so far in debt to it's ridiculous, and then somebody will come in thinking, well, I'll buy them out or I'll pay their bills or I'll do this, and then they do it and then they mess around and the person is in debt again. And that's because they have bad habits. So some of the things you want to do, and like I said, when you even talk about a relationship, if money is an issue, go seek a financial counselor. There are a lot of individuals out there that can help you with your finances, but I remember my mother used to always tell me, Jeanette, don't have more money than you can keep up with. Even when I'm working with my accountant, even when I'm working with, I tell people, I catch on real quick in game recognized game. So I'm not going to not know what's going on, but by the same token, I don't need to know everything. I was listening to Cleffo Dollar last night, and he had on a show a young man who was homeless and went from basically rags to riches. And he also educated himself because one of the things, like I said, we talked about a little bit, but also investing in yourself, paying yourself and investing in your education is valuable. But he said he had a PhD, and he said he obtained that PhD because he was poor, hungry, and determined. And I thought that was so cute. I was like, wow. You know, my PhD, because I was poor, hungry, and determined. And when you are hungry and determined, you go figure it out. You really are. Now, getting back to not only just the choices that we make, and we talked a little bit about how to get out of debt, and but there are some things, like I said, we need to do. We need to avoid racking up credit cards. We know Christmas is coming up. If you can't afford them a special gift, don't put it on a credit card unless you go pay that credit card off in 30 days. Another thing is, set up some new rules. Come January the 1st, many individuals are not hearing people say in regards to new year, new me. But the thing is, we all need to do a better job at getting financially straight than we do by, like we say, signing up, going to the gym and things of that nature. They suggest that individuals, like I said, speak with a financial planner because you need to get a, not only even with just talking about the work you do or things of that nature, but there's certain things that we can do to get a certain percent that a paycheck can be taken out of, like I said, when we talk about savings, a 401k plan. Bernice, I know you, where you work with the county. Tell our listeners a little bit about what a 401k plan is.
Ours is called the 457 plan. It's the same as the 401. It is something that I really, really had positive. However, right now I do not. It's not a tax-exempt vehicle. It's tax-deferred. And I'm not into tax-deferred anymore. So I enjoy the tax-exempt financial thing.
And you know what's interesting in regards to the difference between tax-exempt and tax-deferred, even when employers start investing, they have a way that they can match it. And some counties match their employers with employees contributing to the retirement fund differently.
Yeah.
And whether it's a county job, a state job, it varies. And that's another thing that a lot of individuals don't understand, because if you have any questions, if you are employed, you can either speak to your employer or you can speak to someone in your human resource department and find out what kind of plan will basically work for you in order to meet your needs and what your plan is. I talked a little bit about tithing and giving. And that's another big issue, is because a lot of times when we go to church, individuals start talking about, you know, whether they should tithe, whether they should not tithe, giving up 10%. One of the things I want to say is we all going to be held accountable. A lot of times individuals are afraid to tithe for a lot of different reasons, especially if they know that the church is kind of messy. But you can't go in judging the church or judging the people. Once you tithe, you do your part. And you
That's
do your
right.
part, and you hope that God will do the rest. And I always tell individuals, when I hear people talk about stuff like that, especially being a business owner myself, is these buildings are not free. You know, the lights don't come on by itself. And, you know, not to say that a lot of times people are on, you know, payroll or things of that nature, but the bottom line is you want to go somewhere, you want to get something, but you don't want to give nothing to get. And it's not that, and my mother used to always say God worked for free, and that's not it, but the bottom line is you're contributing to a community. You're contributing to try to help individuals when they're trying to do the right thing to help other people. But I also want to say that in regards to the churches, and even though a lot of times individuals are not affiliated with a church, some of them still donate either 10% or more of their income. And you can also do that. And that's where I see a lot of these church TV. I mean, my sister called it church TV. A lot of individuals are making a lot of money off of that because individuals feel that they're getting a word and they like what the people are saying, and they're trying to support them. So there's a lot of ways you can do that. So they always say donate to your local church, but also be a giver, because when you give, things will also come back to you twofold. And I think that's one of the areas where I've been truly blessed, is I don't mind helping other people, and whatever you do with it, that's on you. So now let's talk a little bit about getting, because we have 9 minutes left on the show. And I had said some things that I wanted to talk about, in not only just increasing individuals' credit score, which Cecilia indicated what you can do in regard to that. Talked a little bit about tithing. Talked a little bit about not only just knowing good debt from bad debt, and setting up for our retirement. And like I said, the younger you are, the better off and the better position you can be if you start saving at such a young age. And Bernice, you said something about the bank interest in regards to when we're trying to, for our emergency fund. What would you recommend individuals to do when they're trying to prepare for that emergency fund?
What would you say, Lisa, for that emergency fund?
We teach that in a class. We can only say so much because of FCC's Jeanette. So we can only say so much. But that is part of coming down and taking these classes for free. And we teach them all that. Our main thing is cutting out the middleman, which is the bank. The banks aren't going to give you but less than 1%. We're teaching you how to go straight to the firms. We are connected straight to the firms, the financial firms, and we sit down, we analyze what you need, and depending on what your need and what your debt is and how much you owe and kids and college fund and all that, we determine how much you're going to need and if you can afford it. Based on what you can afford. So that's what we all do in those classes. But like I said, because of FCC, we can only say so much. But I do want to say this, and I know you've only got a few minutes. I want people to take advantage of these free courses. You're not going to get any free courses. You said to talk to your financial planner, financial counselor. We have that at the office, and it's also free. People want to do debt consolidation. That is free. You don't have to spend $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 on debt consolidation. We offer that for free because we get paid by those firms, those Prudentials and Transamerica and Nationwide. We get paid from them. So that's why we're able to do our services for free. So we would really want a lot of people to come in, sit down, take those classes. You can come in those classes as many as you want. It's every Saturday morning. You can come as long as you want to learn. And when you're ready to sit down and learn about that short-term, long-term, mid-term investing and in your emergency fund, and we're willing to sit down with people and do that, mainly one-on-one, but definitely those classes are available. Like I said, we have financial counselors and financial planners there, and it's free of charge.
Okay. Well, I want to share some things, and I went back to talking about making the best of your money. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of individuals don't make a lot of money, or individuals, you can save whatever you have because you got to start
somewhere.
Even if you have a minimum wage job, a lot of times individuals say, well, I don't make a lot of money and I'm barely making it. And you know, I hear that a lot, especially I want to say for my daughter. But you can still do something with what you got. And I know even myself, if I cut out buying fast food every day, I would be amazed
at how much money
I can save. And even my change, it's funny because sometimes when I put myself on casino restriction, I have to I save change. Girl, no, I've walked in a casino, Bernice, with a prune jar. And individuals wonder, what the hell I'm doing with a prune, girl? I got about $200-$300 in my prune jar because that's my play money. So I get to say, I walk in my prune jar and they take my change. And they get, that's what I have to do. I'll take my money and I will save up to go to the casino just to have a good time, walking in there with a prune gun in my hand, you know, full of change. But it definitely helps. I want to give you some information. Like I said, financial fitness, they talk about 8 steps to take right now to get your finances in order. As we know, that there's no secret that the beginning of the year is a great time to get organized and set yourself up for success, and that's coming up very soon. But you can get started at any time. One, like I said, create a budget. Any good financial plan begins with a budget, and a budget is simply a plan for your money. Knowing where each dollar goes will not only help you to not overspend, but it will also give you the freedom to spend for things that you enjoy and knowing that you have already planned for. If you don't currently have a budget, then you definitely must do one. And you can go to, and you can Google to what's called a budget planner, and that can help you. It also includes areas to track monthly progress, debt snowballs, et cetera. And if you just need a simple tracking worksheet, you can also just find one online. The second thing you can do, build an emergency savings. We talked about that. In regards to, have a question, did you know that 63% of Americans don't have enough of a savings to cover a $500 emergency without borrowing money? We talked a little bit about that. And many individuals have done that. But if you currently have debt that you're trying to pay off, work towards saving up an emergency fund of about $1,000. Then once you paid off your debt, build that emergency fund up for at least 3 to 6 months' worth of your monthly expenses. So if something happens, then you know that, okay, boom, I can get this taken care of. I had a pipe bust in my house in Compton. Lord, me trying to come up with that money, that one man told me that I had to pay $7,000 for a repipe. So thank God I had insurance on the pipe, so I only had to pay, I think, $2,800, $2,700. But still, that's money coming out of the emergency fund. Another thing, eliminate or reduce your cost of 3 expenses. Hopefully, once you create a budget, you'll be able to look at your expenses and you'll find out what you need versus what you want. We always get our wants and our needs confused. And set your financial to-do list. When you set your financial to-do list, you have to involve savings, paying off debt, investing for each goal, and you have to brainstorm all of the steps that you need to take in order to make your goal a reality, because it can become a reality. And like I said, get your debt snowball rolling. Do an automatic saving. When you do an automatic saving, you don't even realize how much money you're putting into your savings. Check your credit score and plan for the unexpected. Now, when we talk about the unexpected, that kind of goes into the emergency fund. Now, we have 2 minutes left in the show, and I want to thank you three ladies for joining me today. I want to thank
you,
Lisa Anderson. I want to thank Bernice Dunlap and Cecilia Brooks. They've already given you their information and contact information, but I want you to tell them again how they can reach you, because a lot of times we don't pay attention. So, Lisa, a number they can reach you at again?
Yes, my number is 714-472-1173.
Okay. And Bernice, the number that they can contact you?
714-261-4412.
And Cecilia, a number where you can be contacted in regards to if they want to redo their credit?
661-435-3948.
Okay. And listeners, like I said, before you start getting back on that computer for your Cyber Monday, take some money, put it aside. Prune jars work very well. It used to be the sparklers bottles, but them things are kind of heavy. I don't think I can carry one of them in the casino. So find you cranberry juice. Whatever you got to do, put your money up. Now, next week, we're going to be talking about addiction. We're going to be talking about finding the right treatment to help one get and stay sober. So I'm going to have a young man on the phone with me on the air, and he's going to be talking about the difference between detox, outpatient, residential. So I look forward to hearing you, having you call in here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. So until next week, remember, you got this. And also, if you didn't learn nothing else from today's show, remember, your financial future depends on you, how you set it up, what you do with your money. And I like listening to Sirius Radio because he always says spend more, save more, and invest the rest. So until next week, I'll be looking for you to join me here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. You ladies, enjoy the rest of your day. Goodbye.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.